the Gospel of John is set up very intentionally. There's a lot of stuff that we don't have in the Gospels because everything Jesus said and did wasn't written down. John even said if it was, that the books of the whole world wouldn't contain it. So it's very specifically set out for us to encounter as a reader. We get done with John chapter 3, which is so very famous with the statements that are in it. Where God so loved the world and that you must be born again. We're very much familiar with those and the interchange with Nicodemus. And then John chapter 4 comes along. And the next story encounter we have after the Nicodemus story is this woman, the Samaritan woman. We have to, when we read Scripture, try at times to compartmentalize and figure out, okay, what's exactly is this story? And then what's the larger story that the gospel writer is trying to convey? What are we trying to absorb here? And so we're going to spend a couple of weeks with the Samaritan woman. We won't finish the sermon today. So if you're looking at the clock and thinking, wow, he's order sandwiches. No, we're going to stop in the middle. So just be prepared for that. By the way, Cassie, good to see you. I don't know if anybody noticed you slipped in after. Fun to have you here. The story starts off, and what I want us to have in our mind is when we're reading this story, I don't know if you noticed, but this woman was aware that the Messiah was coming. So keep that in your mind, that she has an awareness of some spiritual truth. Her expectation of a coming Christ is in her mind, and it's in this dialogue. It comes out later in the dialogue. She says, I know when the Christ comes, he'll explain everything. So she's saying two things there. One, I don't know everything, but I do know this Messiah is going to come. So we have the text that we start off with, and I'm going to pull some stuff out because it's a little easier for us to get our mind around. And here's where it starts. It says, Jesus was sitting by the well of Jacob about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came there to draw water. And then Jesus says, can you give me a drink? So this woman who comes down the sixth hour, and there's a lot of details we're going to not touch on, but she's why it says that she's coming down in the heat of the day because of some stuff that's in her life, and we're not addressing that, so we're not going to try and touch on everything. But she comes down, and it's just her and Jesus. The disciples have gone off to get some food, and so we have another encounter where you have Jesus and one person. And I don't want us to go by that too quickly, that the Bible intentionally gives us some large-scale teachings, the Sermon on the Mount, and places where Jesus is talking to lots of people, but then it gives us these little windows into when it's just Jesus and an individual. And they're very different types of individuals. Nicodemus, very educated and knowledgeable Jew, and is confused by who Jesus is, and you see his Jesus interaction, and then you have this woman who doesn't know Jesus from anybody. No idea who this guy is who just walked up to the well. So many of our stories, like the Nicodemus, or not the Zacchaeus story, he knew this Jesus. When the disciples are called, you even get the idea that they have some idea that this guy is out and about. This woman, no idea at all. Why? Because Jesus has come into her part of the country, and it's not where he's been heard about yet. It's very early in the gospel, and he comes up and he says, can you give me a drink? So she says, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? And what that's showing is that, first of all, for a guy to be talking to a girl out in public is probably not super appropriate, but him being there and her. But then there's a division between the Jews and the Samaritans. And so this woman, knowing almost nothing else, at least knows, you shouldn't be talking to me. Or she believes that. Now, it's interesting because she says this, and it gives us this little clarification. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And so Jesus doesn't go into a long explanation of why it's okay, like he always does. He ignores things that are of no interest to him. that have no play in the story he's trying to unlay. He doesn't talk about it. So he answers. It says Jesus answered her, but he didn't answer. Remember what she said? Why are you talking to me? His answer, Jesus' answer, he said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Her question is, why are you talking to me? His answer is, if you knew me, you would have started talking to me first. If you knew me, you, instead of having me ask you for a drink, would have engaged with me, but you don't know me yet. She's still not quite caught on. She does probably catch on that he didn't answer the, why are you talking to me? But she says, sir, you don't have anything to draw with. And the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? He just said that he would give me living water. She doesn't catch on the weirdness of living water. I don't know if you ever go to the grocery store and shop bottled water, but man, there's a lot of waters out there. Yeah. I didn't know water came in that many varieties. It's H2O and a whole bunch of other stuff. You've got waters and waters and waters and waters. And how do you choose? So I just get Kirkland because I don't know anything else. But water. But he says, I would give you living water, and it just kind of goes by her. Where are you going to get that? Because it's not going to come out of this well. So she asks this interesting question, a little statement. She says, you're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? She's starting to catch on, this guy's different. Something about this guy who's talking to me, he's different. But she also knows Jacob's a heavy hitter. She's trying to contain him just a little bit, Jesus here. Yeah, whatever you're talking about, I'd have talked to you and blah, blah, blah. But this is Jacob's well. You're not greater than him. We're just going to go back here just a little bit. Notice what Jesus said earlier, if you knew. If you knew who he is, all this other stuff wouldn't take place here. If you knew who you were sitting with. And I have this sense in my life that when I die and I get to heaven, I'm going to think about Jesus. If I knew this, if I knew how unbelievable Jesus is, and I have a pretty good sense of how unbelievable Jesus is, but I don't think I'm even close. When it's really out there and visible and obvious who Jesus really is, I think I'm going to be in this same spot that Jesus is going to say, if you knew. And I'm going to go, yeah, I didn't. I knew just a little bit. She's just starting to know a little bit, if you knew. So her question was, how is it you being a Jew asked me as Samaritan for a drink? And then he says, if you knew. She says, you're not greater than Jacob. Who are you? There's something in her mind that's going to start racing along here at some point, and she's going to be getting, who are you? The exact same question is taking place here that took place in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Who are you? And that's a question I think that what the Gospel of John is trying to get us as readers to ask about Jesus is, who are you? And how much of you do I really know? So it goes on, Jesus is going to give a little bit of an explanation. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. And I have my bottle of water here every week. You know why? Because I get thirsty every week. Kirkland. What does water do for us? It keeps us alive. Without water, we die. These kids who have been stuck in this cave for almost 2 weeks, the reason they're still alive is because they didn't matter that they didn't have food because they had water. If they didn't have water and they were stuck in the cave for that long, we would have found them perished. Water is a mandatory piece of our life. And that's why this story is built around this. But everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But now watch what Jesus says. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. I don't know what you know about Jesus. But I still get thirsty. He made this promise, and this promise is here for us also today. If we drink of the water that he gives us, we'll never thirst. And yet, here I am with my bottle of water. So what we have to first do is step out and go, he's not talking about my physical body. I'm still going to want water, and I'm still going to want food. But Jesus talks in terms of food and water very often. Why? Because it's the mandatory stuff for our physical life. He talks about food and water in a kingdom sense because there's some mandatory stuff for our actual life. That's why he lines these up. So it says, as a matter of fact, the water that I'll give will become in him a well of water springing up to what? Eternal life. This water that he's talking about, whatever else it does, leads to actual, ongoing, continuous life. Whatever this water is, we don't know yet. So Jesus says, give me a drink. She says, how is it that you ask me for a drink? He says, if you knew who speaks to you and what he offers. Remember, if you knew who I am and what I'm offering. She says, you're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. It will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So she says what any person in their right mind would say. Whoa, give me this water. Wouldn't you say that? Yeah. If I had a wallet and I said, every time you open that wallet, there's 520s in it. You can take them out. When you put it back in your pocket, you pull it back out again, there's 520s. Yeah, I know you've got an ATM card, but eventually that ATM machine is going to run out. But I've got this wallet. Every time you open it, 520s. See, I would get that wallet, I would open it, pull them out, close it, open it, pull it. That's what I would think. Why? Because I don't think right. She's not thinking right. She says, give me this water. Why? So that we will not be thirsty and have to come. I will not be thirsty and have to come all the way here. She's thinking, A, I don't want to have to be thirsty because that gets kind of old. At worse than that, I got to walk all the way down there to get water every time I need it. Has she heard anything he said? Be careful. Yes. She just hasn't understood it. She's heard what he said. I've got water that'll make you never thirsty again. That's what he said. And so her mind, that's what I want. But remember his earlier statement, if you knew something. If you knew what? If you really knew Jesus, I've wondered this. If we were just sitting here, you know, it's 5 minutes to 10 and there's 11 of us here, and Jesus came in, he'd be dressed like us, because it'd be cheating if he came in a robe and a beard and a staff and all that, and then be like, that's either Jesus or a good actor. But if he came in wearing a plaid shirt and some jeans and a pair of shoes, had his hair cut, I wouldn't know him. Neither would you. Probably. I've seen so many pictures of him. If he can't look like all of them. Remember the one for so us who've been around for a little while, there used to be this picture, and Jesus is looking, his hair's like this long, and his eyes are blue, and he has this serene. That was my picture. If that guy walked in, wow, that is what he looked like. I don't think he does. But if he came in and he sat down, eventually, I believe, because of who he is, we'd start to catch on. There's something different about this guy. But we still wouldn't really know him. I mentioned last week that Houston went on our camping trip with us. I didn't know Houston at all. Thanks for coming with us. I knew he existed. But there's 9 of them. Is that right? Okay. Huh?
Victoria said 9 Houstons.
Yeah, well, no, nine, you know, Houston Nits. Now, he's just one of the nine. But he comes camping with me, and I got to know him some. And I got to know his personality a little bit, and I got to know just a little bit about him. We played a couple of games. We're in a trailer, so we're pretty close. And one of the games, somebody's a liar. Don't worry, we weren't corrupting him. But one of the games, you're trying to get people to not guess that you're the bad person. And here's the thing. I'm a pastor. He thought it was me every time. Every single time. I could tell by how he looked at me. He had his face. Is it okay that you? I don't even care. He'd have his face down a little bit, and he'd look up. And if looks could kill, I would be dead 50 times over, because every time he'd look at me, you are a guilty. And most of the time I was. But I got to know him. I still don't know him, though. I just know a little bit. I don't know him like his brothers and sisters or his mom or his dad. And I don't know Jesus as well as I could either. This woman didn't know Jesus at all. But what we're going to find out about her, and we're going to wrap up here just in a minute, but what we're going to find out about her is she's got a lot of junk. She's got stacks and piles of stuff that is in the way of her getting to know who would ultimately be her Savior. These piles of junk. How do we know this? Because his next question is, go get your husband. And things unfold from there. She's sitting with the Savior of the universe, the Creator of the universe, who asked her for a cup of water. And what's going on is, even though she knew just a little bit, she didn't know enough. And what we're going to find is she's got too much junk in the way. She has too many bad beliefs in the way. The first of which is that somehow the Savior wouldn't even have interest in her because she's a Samaritan. She has life stuff in the way. She's had five husbands and she's living with a guy who's not her husband now. She's got too much junk in the way. But still she knows to say this, give me this water. When the story's over, when we finish talking about it next week, she still won't have any more water. But she'll have exactly what it was that Jesus promised. We'll talk about what that is next week. What I want you to do this week is ask yourself the question, how much junk's in the way? Is it possible that you carry into your faith some beliefs that came from who knows where that are getting in the way of your understanding who Jesus really is? Because I know that's been my experience. I've known Jesus since I was 15 years old, and I'm 53 now. And over the course of my life, I've learned I had this thing I was believing that just isn't true. And I've found piles of junk that are important junk to me that are getting in the way of my understanding who the Savior of the universe is and how he can put in me springs of living water. If I just get the junk out of the way. So we're going to stop here. I'm going to have Eric come up and lead us in a last song. But here's what I would ask you to prayerfully consider through the week. Remember, 2 weeks ago I said the Lord will tell you things. He'll speak to you and have a word just for you about you. How he's feeling or something he wants. I'm going to ask you to continue to believe that. And this week say, Lord, what's my junk? What's in the way? Some of it's very hard to find because deep-held beliefs that aren't true, we don't even know that they're not true, but he can still show you. And some of our beliefs have to do with what junk it's okay to have around. So if you're willing, honestly ask him, Lord, I want that living water. What's in the way? Can you do that with me?